normally do on a communion service, there will be deacons at the doors for a offering for our benevolent fund. It's not mentioned in the bulletin. I forgot that. Just wanted to remind you of that at the conclusion of our service. You got that, Clyde? He's looking through the window at me. I want you to imagine for a moment, and I want you to think back for a moment. For some of us, it's thinking back quite a ways. For others, it's thinking back a little ways. But a number of years ago, there was a moment in your life. And for some of you younger ones, there is a moment coming in your life. But there was a moment in your life that you had planned for. You had prayed for this moment. You had prepared for this moment. And as that moment arrived, you anticipated it. Maybe you got sweaty palms. Maybe you got cold feet a little bit. But as the string quartet played, or the organist played, the doors opened. If it was at a church, maybe it was outside. But the bride appeared. For you, you could have been the bride walking down the aisle. Or you could have been the groom waiting patiently. All of your friends are there. All of your relatives are there. All of the people that you care about are there. But the most important person that you care about is the one that you are joining your life with that day. There's a point in the service where the minister asks a question. You know the question, right? Do you so solemnly swear to take them as your lawfully wedded spouse? And the answer, hopefully, that everyone else in the congregation and everyone else watching hopefully is going to hear is, I do. Right? Have you ever been to a wedding where they say, I don't know? You hope that there's been a little more discussion before that point. Right? But weddings are beautiful things. Amazing, wonderful opportunities and experiences. I've had the privilege of being involved in a number of weddings. Personally, of course, my own. I think that was the best day of my life, one of the best days of my life, yes, next to my baptism in Jesus. But I've been participating in a number. I've officiated quite a few as well. And a wedding is a very special occasion. It's the time when you have to publicly display your love for someone else and show people that you love them. Well, a number of years ago, I had an opportunity to participate in a different kind of service, a unique kind of service, and these services happen every so often as well. But when I first arrived at one of my churches, I had a couple come up to me and say, listen, we would like to renew our wedding vows. I said, sure, let's do it. A very simple service in the office of the church that I was in, my office there. We had the man and the wife. We had a couple of their kids and one or two other bystanders. Very small service. But in that service, they said to each other, we still do love each other. A moment of renewal of their wedding vows. Now, I don't know all the details behind why they wanted to do that. Like I said, I had just arrived there. But essentially, what they were saying is, we still do. And for potluck that day, this was right after church service on Sabbath. For potluck that day, the lady, she was a baker. She had baked this gigantic cake for potluck. It probably could have served about 150 people. It was huge. And it was good. But a commitment to Christ is kind of like a wedding. When someone is baptized, it's their opportunity to publicly say, Jesus, I love you, and I want to follow you. Last week, if you joined us for the end of week of prayer, we had a student baptized. beautiful rebaptized. She was rebaptized. Beautiful ceremony, rebaptized by Pastor Greg Phillips. Beautiful little ceremony that we had. But she was committing her life again to Jesus. And she was saying, yes, Jesus, I still love you. It's a public showing of what is taking place in the heart of the believer. It's a commitment to follow Jesus, to wash away our sins, and to be buried in baptism, done away with the old life. Today we get to celebrate and we have the opportunity to engage in a similar activity through our communion service and through the service that happens just prior to that, through the foot washing service. It's a chance where we have an opportunity to say, wash me clean again, Jesus. Through the communion and the foot washing, we get to engage in this higher cleansing, which is illustrated by the lower cleansing. The cleansing of our hearts is illustrated by the washing of our feet. I'd like us to look at our call to worship again this morning. 1 John chapter 1. If you could open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. In this short little message that the apostle sends to the church, he begins it off by talking about the cleansing that we can have through Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and the Word of God says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, washes us clean." Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We live in a world where it's tainted with sin, and just that contact with the world, we're sinners. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a beautiful promise of what Jesus wants to do for us? How many have memorized 1 John 1:9? I know a lot of us have memorized 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a beautiful promise of what Jesus wants to do for each one of us. Because the problem that we have, as verse 8 says, we're all sinners. We're all tainted with this sin problem because we live in this world, we're infected with this sin issue and we need that cleansing. Not even the disciples of Jesus were immune to sin. They were still sinners, even though they had committed their lives to Jesus. They were not immune to it. Not more than 6 hours before Jesus was taken from them, taken to the trial, and illegally tried as a traitor, the followers of Jesus were participating in one of the most heinous sins. No, this was not murder. No, this was not anger. Might have had a little bit in there though, but this was the sin of pride, the original sin even. They were debating which one was better, who is going to have the highest place of honor next to Jesus when He comes in His kingdom. It's hard to share heartfelt words with an audience who is calloused. And Jesus wanted to share His deepest, most intimate words with His friends, but He couldn't because of the attitude that they had. So He did the best thing that He could think of, and He served them by washing their feet. He took the lowest place as that servant. And historically, foot washing has had a long history dating all the way back to Genesis, when Moses was entertaining God and two angels by the trees of Mamre. He didn't even know that they were angels or God. but he served them and he washed their feet. In the time of Israel, the reason for the washing of the feet was a refreshing. If you've ever been on a summer day, kids, how many of you guys play out in the summer in the yard with no shoes? Or do your parents make you put sandals on sometimes? But it's actually refreshing to come in from a hot summer day and actually wash your feet in the bathtub. This is what was happening with the Israelites at the time of Jesus. At the Last Supper, there was supposed to be a servant. It actually should have been one of the disciples, but none of them wanted to take that lowest position and wash the feet. Take the dirty feet and wash off the dust and the dirt and to refresh them. Nobody wanted to do it. And so Jesus, by his actions, did something very special. Jesus changed that meaning of hospitality to something spiritual and something powerful. Two meanings that he changed it into. It symbolizes two things. First is the example that he gives us that we are to serve one another. Jesus says, I, your Lord and Master, have served you, so you also should serve one another. So he gives us that example of serving one another. And then the second thing that this symbolizes is Christ's desire to wash us clean from our sins, to cleanse us and to wash us. It's the higher cleansing, the cleansing of our hearts, as illustrated by the physical washing of the feet. These two meanings that Christ changed was shown by his actions. And all of his disciples, they all accepted what Jesus was doing, except for one. It wasn't Judas, because Jesus washed Judas's feet and he didn't object. But it was Peter. Peter said, no, Lord, no, do not wash my feet. Let's pick up the story in John chapter 13. Let's have a quick look at this morning, a brief look. John chapter 13. Peter objects. Outspoken Peter. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 6, then Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Then Jesus answered verse 7 and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. It wasn't that Peter didn't want Jesus. He didn't quite understand what Jesus was doing. And Peter was humiliated at the thought that his master, the one that he respected, the one that he looked up to, was stooping to be the lowest of the servants. And Peter thought, I should be the one being there. I don't want you to do it, Jesus. But once Peter realized what Jesus was doing, he said, I'm all in. Total abandon. I'm all in. Look at this, verse 9. Then Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I'm all in. God, take me all. But Jesus reminded Peter what the purpose of this service was and how he has changed the meaning. Peter understood all of it. He said, I'm totally, totally all in, Jesus. But Jesus says this. He says, no. Verse 10, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. He's referring to Judas, of course. Jesus is saying, listen, this little symbol that you're doing by washing your feet, it's this higher cleansing of your heart, which is illustrated by the lower cleansing of the washing of the feet. Jesus reminds us that the foot washing service is symbolic. And they were all clean. The disciples had committed themselves to Jesus. They are on this trajectory to follow Jesus. But they lived in a world of sin. And so they had their lives being tainted. Pride got in the way. Sin began to make a stench. And they needed a little refreshing. They needed a little washing. Not a full bath or a full dunking or a full rebaptism of that sort, but a symbolic action cleansing the heart. Jesus was giving them a chance to say to him, "We still do love you, Jesus." Like Peter, when we have accepted Jesus, or when we accept Jesus, we're washed clean by his blood, as we just read in 1 John 1:7, where the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sin. But life on this sin-sick planet gets in the way. We stumble, we trip. Sometimes we fall, and we fall hard, and sometimes our nose gets broken when we fall. The Bible reminds us, though, that a righteous man, though he falls, will get back up, because he's on that trajectory. It's not the little fallings or the little stumblings that should concern us, but it's where we're headed. And as we have accepted Jesus, he knows that we're headed to a relationship with him. And so every so often, we forget about our commitment to Jesus. We're lured away. We follow our pride or our selfishness. And we need a little bit of cleansing. Because what happens is our feet get a little soiled. And our souls start to get a little stinky. And we need that refreshment. And this is why we need the foot washing service, to remind us of how Jesus desires to cleanse our heart and to give us that sweet smelling aroma. How he washes away our sins. It's the higher cleansing illustrated by the lower. So today, we're given this opportunity. We're given a chance to say to Jesus, "We still do love you, Jesus. We still are following you. Yes, life has gotten in the way a little bit. There's times when I don't always look like a Christ follower, but I still do love you, Jesus." We can ask him, cleanse me from my sins. And so today, as we have the foot washing service, as we have the communion service, we each have an opportunity to say, "I'm yours again, Jesus. Take all of me," like Peter. "Take all of me, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Take me all." But help us to remember, may we remember the symbol that Jesus has by just the washing of the feet and committing ourselves to serving one another. He's cleansing our lives. At this time, let us separate for the foot washing, and then we shall return to take the rest of Christ's sacrifice. The ladies, you may go to the crateral room, which is over here to your right. The men to the adventurer's room, which is next door to the primary room where the children are will be for their program. And then the families will be here in the overflow room and the kindergarten room, and these two rooms on this side. Let us separate at this time, and we shall return back to here for the rest of the communion service. Thank you. many times in our lives, we do things and then we wonder why. Sometimes they're good things, and there's meaning behind them. As we mentioned this morning, a wedding or a marriage ceremony, baptism, communion, the reason why behind those, it's good. There's powerful meanings behind those. Sometimes there's things, times in our life where we're attracted towards things of this world, and we go, why? This has happened all through history. At the time of Ellen White, there was a particular situation which she wrote a letter to, and a letter about. It was kind of like a letters to the editor in the Review and Herald kind of a thing, and Ellen White responded with talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. And the problem that this person was dealing with, I don't think many of us have this problem, but it was the problem of the ballroom. And she expressed her feelings of the attractions of the ballroom. And at those times, of course, things were a little bit different, and the worldly attractions was not what Ellen White was supporting. She was trying to encourage this dear member away from those worldly attractions. And there's a one-line sentence that she writes about that I want to share with you this morning, because it's very applicable to what we're looking at here at on the table. She says, let a sense of the infinite sacrifice made for our redemption be ever with you, and the ballroom will lose its attractions. Let me read that again so we all have it. Let a sense of the infinite sacrifice made for our redemption be ever with you, and the ballroom will lose its attractions. In another letter that she wrote to Edison, sorry, I just keep going. This is good stuff. Her son, Edison, or there's a son, right? Yeah. Edison, sure. Sometimes we forget those things at times. Who was related to who? But she mentions this as well, and she talks about the purity, the holiness of the life of Jesus as presented from the Word of God possesses more power to reform and transform the character than do all the efforts put forth in picturing the sins and crimes of men and the sure results. Sometimes we like to focus on other people. I'm better than them. But she says, don't do that. One steadfast look to the Savior uplifted on the cross will do more to purify the mind and heart from every defilement than will all the scientific explanations by the ablest tongue. As we look to Jesus, in the words of Jesus from John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus says, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And as we meditate and focus upon Jesus, as we picture him in our mind's eye and we see Jesus, the world loses its attractions. And I want to encourage you today that as we take these emblems, these symbols of Christ's body and spilt blood, that we can picture in our minds what he is doing for us and what he has done for us, and how he has washed us clean, and how he is our sacrifice and our substitute. Reading from Matthew chapter 26 says, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper while they were eating. Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. the elders, we will kneel and we will pray over the bread. And then the deacons will pass it out. And here in the Adventist church, especially here at Spangle, we practice open communion. If you're a guest with us today, you're welcome to participate. We don't restrict anything. It's between you and God. And so as we pray together, make that commitment in your heart that as you're taking in his body and his blood, the symbols of these things, you're taking him into your life. It's that higher cleansing symbolized by the lower cleansing, that higher symbolism of taking Jesus into our hearts, symbolized by the mechanical putting in of the food and the drink. Kyle will be praying for our bread this morning.
Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your willingness to give up heaven, to give up all power and authority, to give up so much to put on flesh. What a privilege it is for us today to be able to partake of a symbol of the great humility that you were willing to endure. You say that you give to this world life, and your gift is your flesh. Mm-hmm. And then you tell us that we can be crucified with you, and that the life we can live in the flesh, we can live by faith in the Son of God who loved us so much and gave himself up for us. God, it is so awesome that we can live in this flesh right now the way you did, by faith in you. The way you clung to the Father, the way you were refreshed by the Spirit every morning, the way you went through death, being tempted in a way we can't even fathom, and yet clinging to the Father nonetheless, we can live that same way in the flesh. Thank you for that gift. May we be willing partakers of that as much as we are willing to partake of this bread. I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." At this time, Pastor Fred will have the prayer for our juice, the symbol of Christ's spilt blood, as the elders kneel.
Before I pray, I'd like to share one verse with you. It's what the pastor was quoting earlier from 1 John, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." Heavenly Father, we can read on that if we say we don't have sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. And today, I'd like to pause. And Holy Spirit, come right now into our hearts and our minds. And if there is sin in our minds, in our hearts, in our life, that we simply just need to confess in our heart and our mind before you, we do that now in silence. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't just call us to confess our sin, but through your blood, you promise to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so now we with joy partake of this juice that represents your blood, that represents our cleansing. And that right now we can come boldly before the very throne of God and have help in time of need. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your cleansing. And thank you, in your blood, we have all we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of it." The Bible tells us that the disciples and Jesus sung a hymn, and they then went to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was praying and then betrayed and taken away. We can be thankful for his sacrifice, and we can celebrate what we have done here today. As we have recommitted our lives to Jesus, I know this is not in the bulletin or the music committee, the music team hasn't done this, but Janelle, could we do 322? 322, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Everybody, you can take a hymnal there. I don't know if John's going to have it on the screen or not, if he's turned the projector off yet, but that's okay. Let us all stand together as we sing a song of consecration, committing ourselves to Jesus, that there's nothing between, nothing going to keep us separated from Jesus. 322. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure, habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between ye may hard trials, though the world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumphed at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Let us pray. Lord God, may that be our prayer, that there is nothing that can separate. We know that promise that you give us in Romans, that there is nothing that can separate us. But may our choices, may our actions, may the part that we have to play glorify you. And as we look to Jesus, upon the cross as our sacrifice and our substitute, may we also say, we still do, Lord. We love you and we thank you for what you have done. Go with us, guide us, keep us in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. be seated, and the ushers shall dismiss you. And remember, please remember, there will be an offering taken at the door for our benevolent fund.